are listening to WXRWLP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally. I'm your host, NTSC, and welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we're against so much, what do we stand for? All the ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society might look like while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. Having said all that, even though the device you're listening on right now probably wasn't free, the radio waves that you're listening to are. But WXRW does cost money to operate, sadly. So to that end, you can always visit the station at 824 East Center Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and you can purchase a hat or a mug or a t-shirt. And all the proceeds from those sales will go to supporting the station. Or if you like any of the programming that you might listen to on WXRW, reach out and become an official underwriter. Promise every little bit helps. And you can dial into River West Radio on your smart speaker. Tell your listening device to play WXRW River West Radio. We are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm at a bit of a loss for this week's episode. I've been meaning to talk about a specific topic for a few weeks now, but it's just getting harder and harder because the news cycle tends to interject a constant stream of toxicity, and it's something new every single week. And I feel like that I keep harping on the same topic over and over again. Maybe I need to use this episode to continue the harping. And I gotta admit, sometimes it makes me wonder what the point of this whole exercise is. And I feel like we should all be wondering that. We should be asking ourselves that question every single day, I feel. But it's impossible, you know, or it's just too difficult for most people because we're all so tired at the end of the day and we're just so sick and defeated. I'll stop using abstractions. I keep meaning to make an episode about UBI. Or universal basic income. You know, and it was a topic that was on a lot of people's lips a while ago, but now it seems hilarious, you know, that anyone was even considering universal basic income as a realistic option, you know, that might ever have actually been employed, you know, here in the present, where the attack on just basic humanity and dignity and, you know, self-definition is just ceaseless. So I was going to use this week's episode to talk about universal basic income, explain what it was, and make the argument that it's not enough to fix the problems that face the planet. But honestly, that all seems, you know, so totally out of the realm of possibility now that I don't even really think it's worth discussing. At least certainly not right now, with what appear to be more pressing matters at hand. I tell you, I really love Wisconsin. I love my home state of Wisconsin, but I hate living in a swing state. I have no interest in partaking in the charade of representative government. It is a ridiculous Rube Goldberg machine of inequality and inefficiency designed to remove any and all power that you might have had and to completely dull any teeth that you might have been able to grow in defense of your life and the lives of your family and friends and your, you know, choices about your life in general. And really, if it wasn't just this nightmare machine that was ruining everyone's lives and killing our one and only planet. I might be able to sit back and laugh, but I'm not a cynical person. So instead, I just kind of, I end up shaking my head and sighing. I sigh all the time now. You've heard me any number of times just sighing into the microphone. And I read once that sighing is supposed to be good for you. It's supposed to be good for your heart. But I'm not so sure that the amount of sighing that I find myself doing is medically advisable. I don't think that it's actually beneficial to my health. But okay, sighing aside, let's talk about America, huh? Let's dissect this grand experiment. Way back in episode number 9, we talked about the mathematical likelihood of your opinions actually making their way into public policy. And when I mean your opinions, I mean the opinions of 90% or more of the American electorate. It's more like 99%. But we're sticking with 90 for reasons that you'll see soon. So I'll reiterate what we learned from that episode's research, episode 9. If you want to listen to any past episodes, you can go to creamcitymedia.com/anti. Okay, a 2014 study conducted by professors Martin Gillens of Princeton and Benjamin Page of Northwestern University found that the influence of ordinary Americans in the writing of policy and the laws that get written and passed register, quote, to a non-significant near zero level. Okay, so what does that really mean? The study itself is really interesting. It's an interesting read, and it's available to read on Princeton's website. So the graphs and the charts break it down pretty succinctly and very visibly. The average citizen, here defined as someone in a median income bracket, has a 0.05% likelihood of their opinions, desires, and general wants being reflected in public policy in any way at all. So roughly 90% of everyone all have less than a single percent chance of actually being represented in this so-called representative democracy. They have less than 1% chance. Okay. Economic elites, on the other hand, which are here defined essentially as the 0.01% of the American population, or the billionaires and the industrialists and the corporations, they enjoy a 78% chance of their interests and opinions dictating the laws and policies of this country. And I'll repeat that because it's nauseating. And remember, this study was done in 2014, a full 2 years before the election that got so many people angry. 0.01% of the American voting population has a 78% chance of their desires aligning perfectly with policy and law as written by representatives who are elected. 90% of Americans have a 0.05% chance of their desires aligning with actual policy and law as written by their elected officials back in 2014. Do you feel that those odds are getting better here in 2018? Or do you think they're getting worse? I'll leave that question up to you to answer. So, we are approaching elections, and I'm seeing a lot of rhetoric about the so-called blue wave and yada yada. And I tell you, I'm fighting cynicism as hard as I can, but it's getting harder every day. And as we get closer to the elections, it's going to get more and more difficult for me, I feel. Progressives, liberals, leftists, Democrats, socialists. What is the goal here? What do you want to achieve? Really, I am curious. I'm hoping and guessing that you want basic human rights, that you believe in something like the platitude, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? All that stuff. I'm hoping that you want it for yourself, and maybe I'm naive that you want it for anyone else. Tell me how those things can be achieved by asking someone else to do it for you. Because that's what voting is. It is groveling on your knees and pleading with someone else to just make your life better, please. It's akin to covering your face while you're being beaten savagely and asking for them to please stop beating you. It's giving up your power completely to humans who are not you, who will never meet you, who will certainly never know you, you know, on a personal level, and have no business telling you what to do. They have no business telling you what you can and cannot do. But what's more is it's giving power, wholesale power, to humans to then tell everyone what they can and cannot do, not just you. It is your complicit action declaring loud and clear that you want X person or Y person to tell everyone else and yourself what you all can and cannot do. You want them in a system that is governed by the power and influence of money to defend everyone who doesn't have any money. And people will yell, you know, and gnash their teeth, get money out of politics. And they yell that to a group of people who get to dictate their own salaries. Excuse me. The salary of anyone working in the Congress or Senate is determined by themselves. They get to raise their own pay anytime they want to, and we're supposed to get money out of politics. In a world where you can't get money out of anything, because money is the primary resource that determines whether you live or die. What do you really want? What do you think is going to happen? Anarchists get called utopians all the time, simply because we believe that human beings are sociable animals capable of organizing ourselves to the greater good. And we get called utopians for that. Okay, I'm going to call out every voter as a completely unrealistic utopian. Tell me what you want to happen in the next election. You want to truck your butt to a polling station on a day that is not a federal holiday, probably in a state that is doing its damnedest to disenfranchise you. And you want to cast your single solitary vote for a human being that is not you. Okay. How did that person get in front of you? How did you learn about that person? How did they get to where they are even able to be voted for? Did you choose them to be voted for? I'll tell you, they got in front of you not by accident and not by magic, but with money. And yeah, perhaps it was with a lot of small donations from individuals, or more likely it was with huge lump sums from rich people or business interests. But you did not even choose that person who gets to be in front of you, you know, who is not you. They were chosen for you. But okay, there's this person, and maybe you like them because they seem shiny and bright, and their views, at least some of their views, appear to align with yours. Now, certainly all of their views cannot align with yours. That's impossible. They're not you. But okay, you're conceding that they're not you, that they don't know you, that they've never met you, but you want them to control you anyway. Okay, cool. in your best case scenario, you need to vote for a literal saint who is impervious to the influence of money, power, corruption, scandal. They are benevolent, wise, compassionate. They're tough on crime. You know, they're going to fix all of your problems for you. Ah, but wait. They're not the only person operating in this ridiculous Rube Goldberg machine that is this, you know, quote unquote, representative democracy. There are thousands of other people, all elected, who can stop that benevolent person's agenda before it even gets a foot in the door. According to the most recent census data, there are more than 87,000 local and state governments, constituting more than 511,000 elected offices in America. So in your perfect functional democracy that's going to take care of all of your problems, there are 511,000 perfectly benevolent, kind, compassionate, brilliant people who are all completely immune to the influence of money and power, who are all worthy of telling you what to do. Sorry to tell you, but that's utopian, unrealistic, and painfully naive. Even if you don't need all 511,000 of those elected officials to be smart, benevolent, kind, immune to the influence of money and power, in a world that runs on money and power, you only need the majority of those people to be benevolent and kind and immune to the influence of money and power, in a world where the people who seek those jobs are people who understand the influence of money and power and who want money and power, because you don't go into a position, you don't seek a position that gives you power over other people unless you want it. And expecting people who don't want power over other people to seek positions of power is utopian, unrealistic, and painfully naive. We've talked about this in past episodes. Elections drain social movements of their actual effectiveness by focusing on the candidate and not the actual cause for which we are fighting. Climate change is real. For example, it is killing the planet. There are 200 companies responsible for the climate change that is killing the planet. They are doing so legally under the protection of the world's governments and its elected officials. Human beings are giving those 200 companies legal power to kill the planet around us. You are powerless to stop it, so long as you keep giving away your power. The Earth is dying today, right now. Every second of every minute of every hour, it is being killed. And it isn't going to wait for the next election cycle. It isn't going to stop because it's time to bring in the next crop of politicians who, if you remember from a while ago, are almost as likely to be psychopaths as CEOs are. But anyway, the world isn't waiting for you to get to cast your single solitary vote to plead and beg someone else to stop the corporations from killing the planet. There is a rat eating your baby's face. You have a newborn baby. There is a rat eating your baby's face. It's eating it right now. You can see it. You have a newborn infant, helpless, defenseless, in a crib that's a few feet away from you. And a fat, diseased rat is eating your baby's face. Her face is already really messed up. She's lost her left eye. And the rat has eaten most of her nose and cheeks. That's where all the good meat is. The rat is eating her alive. There's four people standing around the crib. Two of them are trying to convince you that the rat isn't eating your baby. And the other two agree that the rat is definitely eating your baby's face. And they promise to stop the rat. One of them says that they'll try to appease the rat by putting a different food source near the baby so that the rat will hopefully stop what it's doing and go eat that instead of your baby's face. The other person says that they'll scold the rat, you know, and they'll punish it for eating your baby's face. And that will stop future rats from wanting to eat your baby. And in a few weeks, you'll get a chance to vote for one of these four people. A lot of your neighbors believe the first two, who say that the rat isn't eating your baby's face because your neighbors aren't standing in the room. They can't see the crib. And all of the tweets of those two people say that the rat doesn't even exist. You're making it up. So your neighbors are going to vote for those people. Which of the two remaining people are you going to vote for? You can't stop the rat yourself because there's another guy in the room and he'll kill you if you try to stop the rat yourself. It's legal for him to kill you, but it's illegal for you to try and stop the rat, okay? So there's only this one way. You've got one way to stop the rat. You vote in a few weeks, and you hope and pray that the person for whom you vote, if they get into office, will do something about the rat. That they can't at all, you hope, because they need to get the support of 536 other people that you didn't get a chance to vote for. So the person you voted for has to work with them to stop the rat who is eating your baby's face right now. It's not stopping while you hem and haw and while they air commercials about who will stop the rat or if the rat even exists to begin with. That is elections. That is the truth of the fact of the matter that you are dealing with. Except it's not inevitable. And the rat eating your baby's face is not a perfect metaphor, but waiting for elections to solve the problems that are happening right now is really like hoping and praying that someone else will stop the rat that is currently eating your baby's face. Don't be naive. Don't settle for this ridiculous system that you had no say in. Nobody asked for your consent to be in this when you were born. You were just born into this world, helpless and defenseless. And people began telling you, you know, what was true and what was false. And your training began at day one. And that training says that you don't get to wield your own power, that you must give it to someone else and hope that they use it for things that you want them to. And that training tells you that you have to be further trained to earn your life because nothing in this world is free. And that training tells you from day one, if you don't get a good job, you will be poor and you will be hungry and you will be homeless. Because you don't deserve to eat. You don't deserve a home. Unless you get a good job with a good employer who really cares about you as a person. And not just as a means to an end, you know, the means of production. And we were all sold so many lies. And we are still being lied to every single day. And we're lying to each other. Because we've internalized so many of these lies that we think they're the truth. The truth is we do not need to be controlled or policed or employed or governed. There were bumper stickers and flags and signs in 2016 that said be ungovernable because some people didn't like what happened in 2016. For some reason, they thought this group of people who were elected were less legitimate than everyone else who'd been elected before them. Well, don't turn around and decide that you want to be governable just by different people who say things that you like instead of people who say things that you don't like. Be ungovernable. And it starts with recognizing that the vote is an empty, useless tool. It's a concession. Like the kind of concession that parents give to their small children, right? Do you want to wear your red coat or your blue coat? It's a false choice. We're not children, and the government is certainly not our parents. We do not need to be governed. We can organize ourselves. We were doing it for millions of years before the divine right of kings, before elections, before emperors, before princes and queens convinced us somehow that we had to stop organizing ourselves, before they convinced us that we needed governing, that we needed controlling. This episode kind of turned into a rant, but I can't help it because UBI seems like a complete impossibility in a world that's trying to convince people that gender is a one or a zero binary when it definitively isn't. You know, in a world that's trying to tell you that you need to work to earn your right to exist, in a world that's telling everybody that the only opportunity you have to control your life is to vote on the person that controls it. It's so sad. And I guess I just needed this episode for my own mental health to yell into the void and say that we don't need controlling. Thank you for tuning into The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I've been your host, NTSC, and I will be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti, and more information about the show can be found on riverwestradio.com. I will still talk about universal basic income, because a lot of people were kind of putting it up on a pedestal as a solution, as a viable solution to the very real problems that face the entire world, and it's just not. It's a thesis that I think is worth sharing, at least for my own mental health. And we'll maybe try and talk about it next week, but to do that, you know, this news cycle is going to have to stop giving me more reasons to go off on rants against representative democracy, because it's not representative in any way, shape, or form, except for the elites. I guess I can keep harping on it as much as I want, but there's like 5 or 6 episodes in this series now that keep saying the same thing. But I guess maybe, you know, even if I'm just screaming into the void for my own mental health, at least this serves some purpose then, even if it's only selfish and personal. Thanks again for listening. Stay tuned to WXRW River West Radio for some more great programming. And as I said before, if you like the programming that you listen to on WXRW, reach out and become an underwriter. It's something you can do to lift marginalized voices and to support your community if you're in Milwaukee, and especially if you're in River West. Take care, everybody.